Hello everyone, welcome to Business Life. Coming up in this bulletin, tensions brewing at the country's ports as business groups call out some international shipping lines overcharging of illegal shipping fees.
Shippers Authority is mandated. They are the regulators of the shipping industry. So why is it that they have come out with a figure and you people don't want to adhere to it?
We'll be live with some of them. Also in this bulletin, banking consultant warns restoration of the license of GN Bank could trigger similar demands from other financial institutions affected by the financial sector cleanup, saying reinstatement of revoked licenses must be managed carefully.
The others that, you know, Section 123 affected them, they also want to follow suit and then see if they can have their licenses restored.
Plus, Bank of Ghana pushes for connected African financial markets to unlock growth.
But that logic is being inverted. That logic is being inverted across the emerging world. Payment rails are becoming the entry point into formal finance for billions of users.
We have details of this and more for you. Please stay. Thanks so much for your time. I am Pius Kojobaka. A look now at our stories. Banking consultant Nana Utuichampong says the restoration of the license of GN Bank could trigger similar demands from other financial institutions affected during Ghana's financial sector cleanup exercise. According to him, the development could have far-reaching implications for the country's banking sector. Speaking earlier on the marketplace, Nana Utuichampong noted that any move to reinstate revoked licenses must be carefully managed to preserve confidence and stability within the financial sector.
As you know, it wasn't only GN Savings and Loans that was affected. There was quite a number of them, both at the universal bank level, at savings and loans level, finance houses level, and even coming down to microfinance. The only sector that was not affected was rural banks. They were ring-fenced. And therefore, if these rulings stand, no two court cases are the same anyway. The others that, you know, Section 123 affected them, they also want to follow suit and then see if they can have their licenses restored. So I think it's got a very extensive implication for the financial services sector.
Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Isiama, has called for stronger integration of African financial and capital markets, warning that economies that fail to connect their financial system risk falling behind in the next phase of global growth. Speaking at the opening of the ACIFMA World Congress 2026 in Accra, Dr. Isiama said capital is increasingly global while regulatory and payment systems remain fragmented.
Speaking at the opening of the ACI World Congress 2026, Dr. Isiama said the future financial market will be defined not just by domestic reforms, but by how effectively countries create seamless cross-border financial systems.
Colleagues, for decades, payments were treated as the last mile of finance. The plumbing that moved money once decisions had been made elsewhere. But that logic is being inverted. That logic is being inverted across the emerging world. Payment rails are becoming the entry point into formal finance for billions of users.
President of ACI Ghana, Lawrence Buampom, says the conference provides an important platform for market participants to exchange ideas and develop solutions that strengthen financial systems and support growth.
Around the world, economies are adapting to shifting realities. Technology is transforming markets at unprecedented speed. Conversations around liquidity, resilience, digital transformation, sustainability, regulation, and regional integration are becoming increasingly important. At the same time, Africa's financial market story continues to evolve rapidly, driven by innovation, reform, resilience, and ambition.
The ACI FMA World Congress continues in Accra, with discussions expected to focus on financial innovation, market integration, and the future of global capital market.
Still within the financial and financing sector, Consolidated Bank Ghana has launched its agency banking services as part of efforts to deepen financial inclusion and expand access to banking services across the country. Speaking at the launch, Managing Director of the bank, Naomi Wolali Kwete, said the initiative will enable customers to seamlessly transfer funds and access essential banking services.
The agency banking initiative by Consolidated Bank Ghana is aimed at supporting Ghana's financial inclusion agenda by improving access, convenience, and efficiency in banking services. Through the service, customers can make deposits, withdrawals, bill payments, and interbank transfers through authorized agents nationwide. Speaking in an interview, Managing Director of the bank, Dr. Naomi Wolali Kwete, noted that the initiative will help expand the bank's customer reach while providing individuals and businesses with easier access to financial services, particularly in underserved communities.
We believe that we need to serve the unserved communities, and agency banking is one of the ways we can do that. We have said that as we speak today, we have opened onboarded about 168 agents, and we hope to do by 1,000 by the end of the year, and in a three-year space we want to do about 8,000. The main issue is simple: to have banking closer to you. Don't let banking, a distance or location, be a hindrance for you to do banking. We want to include everyone, and that's the reason why we are adding agency banking to the many products that CBG has.
Deputy Managing Director of Consolidated Bank Ghana, Sheila Zuntaba, says the introduction of the agency banking platform demonstrates the bank's commitment to innovation, accessibility, and financial inclusion.
As a bank, our commitment to innovation and financial inclusion means that we recognize that many customers require banking services daily, and not only banking services daily, but efficient and reliable and accessibility. It is for that reason that we introduced the agency banking at CBG. Therefore, this particular launch and this product is aimed at ensuring that more people across the country can access well-thought, well-curated products and services within their communities through all our approved agents. This initiative aligns strongly with our mission to becoming the preferred Ghanaian bank of choice, delivering simple, secure, differentiated banking experiences to all our customers.
The bank has already onboarded 168 agents across all regions of Ghana and is targeting 8,000 agents nationwide over the next 3 years.
The Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry has signed a memorandum of understanding with the Bank of Africa Ghana to help member businesses access financing at lower cost and with simplified requirements. The agreement is aimed at addressing one of the top constraints cited by SMEs, which are high lending rates and cumbersome loan processes that limit expansion and job creation. President of the Chamber, Stefan Mason Abbas, said the partnership is designed to translate macroeconomic stability into tangible benefits for businesses.
One of the things that I have always been advocating for was reduction the cost of credit. And we've been pushing the Bank of Ghana, and we've seen the result recently. Then after, if the credit it becomes affordable, then it becomes, what the next thing is, accessibility. For which reason, not too long ago, we had to meet the Ghana Association of Bankers on this issue. So, given the opportunity to mix Bank of Africa to be able to bring access of credit to our members at a cheap cost, it was important that we took the opportunity. So, we've had a lot of background discussions, and we have agreed that look, they make credit accessible to our members with the endorsement of the Chamber of Commerce, and then an approval from the President, myself, members of the chamber, and the members of the business community would be able to deal directly with Bank of Africa.
Talking about the business community, I want to take you to the ports, because business associations in that part of the country have thrown their weight behind the Ghana Shippers Authority amid growing tensions with some international shipping lines over regulatory measures within the country's shipping and logistics sector. The group described the move as unfortunate and harmful to national economic interests, insisting that shipping companies operating in Ghana must comply with the country's laws and regulatory framework. Here's President of Guta, Clement Boateng, speaking to Joy Business a while ago.
Our people go to pay the 760. They said no, they will not accept it. So they have instituted a legal action injuncting the 720 cedis until the final determination of the case is made. And the first hearing of the case is coming on tomorrow. And that is the more reason why we have held this press conference, that Ghana is a sovereign country. And whoever, any investor who comes to operate Ghana here, must operate under the laws of the country. And Shippers Authority is mandated. They are the regulators of the shipping industry. So why is it that they have come out with a figure and you people don't want to adhere to it? So we are saying we are in full support of Shippers Authority, and we are calling on the President and the Transport Minister to make sure that Shippers Authority exercise its mandate so that these people cannot take us for a ride. So that is the import of the whole matter.
John Awuni is the president of the Food and Beverages Association of Ghana. He joins us via Zoom for more on this. John, thank you very much for making time. Now, what specific fees are your members being charged that you consider illegal? Are we talking about demurrage, detention, container cleaning? What is it? Unmute for me, John.
Good evening to your viewers. I would say that we are talking about container administrative charges. And these are charges clearly that have been in place for years, though very illegally. The background to the story is that these shipping lines, when they take a container of goods and they are bringing in from the whichever country you are shipping the goods from, they charge you for the container and your goods transportation and everything. And then when you pay, they are supposed to deliver your container to you. But over the years, they have turned around to institute some illegality that has existed. And this illegal has to be the fact that they now say that they have local workers working at the port handling the containers. So before they release your container to you, they will have to do some administrative work to check out, to release the container to you. They have to go also do and monitor the container so that the container is not stolen, the container is not damaged, it's handled and all that. So this they call it container administrative charges. And they have put figure on it. And the figure they have been charging is $165. Apart from what they have already charged the Ghanaian businessman, the Ghanaian consumer, for bringing the container. They now say that just to release the container and also monitor that the container is well handled, which is their legitimate work, they now charge separately. It is like you enter into a restaurant. The restaurant, the waiters are employed by the restaurant. Then they tell you, the restaurant people tell you that, well, the waiters, once they serve you, they have to charge you a fee to pay the waitress. You didn't put the waitresses there. There is a restaurant that put the waitresses there. So be it as is made, this container administrative charge is what they have been doing, 165. It is not something that is implemented in Togo, in Nigeria, in Cote d'Ivoire. It is something that is so isolatory in Ghana that they have been fleecing the people of this country for over the years. And so, then the shipping authority came over with the fact that, and they said, well, we have to see how we can ensure that this thing is faded out or is eased out. Instead of the shipping authority had the right to stop this thing at once. But they said that, well, we will do it gradually, but we are not going to impose a law just at once. We will have to do consultations. Consultations were done with the business community, with stakeholders, the Food and Beverage Association, the Guta, all the business community, including the shipping lines. They were all owners of the shipping line, were all result of these consultations done over the years. And they were even sent out, a team were even sent out to go and learn what is happening in Togo, what is happening in Nigeria and other neighboring countries. When they went in there, they realized that these charges are not being done over there. So this Ghana is just an isolatory case.
So John Awuni, I want to understand, how long has this been going on and has the frequency increased recently?
How long has the...
I mean, the charging has been going on.
It has been on for years, for so many years. And now they want to, the shipping authority want to bring sanity to it and saying that you have been charging an illegal fee. I am the regulator and I can stop that. I can stop that. But instead of me stopping that just at once, I would rather phase it out. So, but I will not just do it abruptly. I will not just do it with... without consultations. We will do consultations, including yourself. And they have been part of it. Consultations were not done for 1 month, 2 months, 3. It was done over a year.
And what's been the estimated cost burden on importers? Mr. Awuni, what's been the estimated cost burden on importers largely?
Per container is $165 they are charging. And we are saying that instead of us stopping it completely, well, for now, let them just take half of it. And the half will amount to about 550 cedis. And then we can now look at over a period how that thing can be cancelled, even though, because it is just an illegality. It is money that the shipping authorities have taken advantage over the silence of the authorities in this country. And they are packing that money away because the employees who are handling those administrative things for the container are your employees. Ghanaians don't have to pay for that.
That's fine. I appreciate your point there, and it's well made. But again, how is this affecting retail prices of food and beverages for Ghanaians?
Remember, it definitely shoots out the prices. If you charge a container $165, whatever is charged at the port or at whatever is charged at the port or by any regulatory authority is added on to you and I to pay from the market. Be it Makola, Agbogbloshie, Okanshi, Madina, you will pay for that. So what we are talking to say is that it is illegal, and the shipping authorities, knowing that they want to now misbehave, and they've decided to file a suit at the court, which will be heard tomorrow, and say that the Ghana Shippers Authority, they want to injunct the Ghana Shippers Authority. We are saying that this is not going to be accepted. We are their clients, right. And we can, if they don't want to obey, they should get out of the Ghanaian market and let other shipping authorities come in, because it's a competitive market, it's an open market.
That's fine.
And we can choose not to do business with them.
All right. John Awuni is the president of the Food and Beverages Association, speaking to us here on Business Live. Let's now take a breather. We'll be right back. Again, welcome back to Business Live. Convener of the Africa Climate Forum, Professor George Nwangu, says African countries must create financing systems that support local industries and reduce dependence on foreign capital. Speaking at the Africa Climate Roundtable Conference, he argues that Africa continues to export wealth through raw commodities while importing finished products at higher costs, limiting economic growth and industrial development.
At the Africa Climate Roundtable Conference, convener of the Africa Climate Forum, Professor George Onwango, says African economies must focus on value addition and industrialization to retain more wealth within the continent. Speaking in an interview, he argued that current global financing structures do not adequately support Africa's economic realities and development priorities.
Africa is resource rich. What we do is we export our capital in the mode of commodities. Ghana exports its cocoa previously without processing it, exports it. They ship it to Switzerland. Switzerland, you go there, they turn it into chocolate, and then we buy back. What we've done is we've actually exported the capital to them. Then we go back and we beg for these capitals. So we should be able to create those sort of finished products here so that we can grow our economies a lot better. So we need to find a balance, and I think a lot of African countries are pushing towards that right now.
Chief Executive of TSA Sustainability, Dr. Engineer Shelter Lotu, says businesses must take advantage of Ghana's climate policies and sustainability framework to assess climate financing opportunities.
The government of Ghana has made climate issues very topical. That's why we have a minister at the presidency that is responsible for climate action. And then government has also developed the Ghana Green Taxonomy, which is very important to provide opportunities for businesses to tap into the climate funds. It is important that businesses take advantage of all these opportunities and assess information from government sources, from the private sector, in order to tap into the funds available.
Stakeholders say stronger local industries, climate financing access, and sustainable investment policies will be key to improving Africa's economic competitiveness.
Ghana is doubling down on its agenda to boost local food production, cut down on fertilizer imports, and create more income for farmers. Today, the Minister for Trade, Agribusiness and Industries, Elizabeth Ofosu-Ejiri, led a delegation, including Deputy Agriculture Minister John Dumelo, to the Chinese city, where a major fertilizer partnership is now on the table for a new fertilizer factory. Anas Sabit reports.
Here in the industrial landscape of Chengdu, the Ghanaian delegation stepped inside the sprawling manufacturing complex of Wintru, a global leader in fertilizer production, led by the Trade Minister Elizabeth Ofosu-Ejiri and the Deputy Minister for Agriculture John Dumelo. The visit had a clear goal: attract Chinese investment to build a large-scale fertilizer industry right in Ghana. Inspecting the facilities, the minister made Ghana's intentions clear, noting that this aligns perfectly with the president's vision of import substitution, especially for fertilizer.
So we are in Wintru, in China here, a fertilizer company. Excellency John Dramani Mahama is not only interested in exports, but also interested in import substitution. It is right learning that we import almost all the fertilizer we use in Ghana. What the president wants to do is to make sure that we lead the private sector to put a fertilizer plant in Ghana as part of our industrialization process for import substitution, so that we stop the importation of fertilizer and then produce it right in Ghana. And so we are here, best practice with the private sector, to ensure that we know what is going to happen in Ghana. If this happens, our city will be stronger, because we will not send our city to import fertilizer. If Ghana wants to industrialize, this is the way to go.
Deputy Agriculture Minister John Dumelo reinforced the message, emphasizing the importance of cross-border collaboration.
For us at the Agric Ministry, we are looking at efficiency. And with efficiency, we are looking at the number of tons we can get efficiently from an acre. And with that, no country is an island. And in the Agric Ministry, or as Ghana as a whole, we have to collaborate with other countries. And so we are here in China to collaborate with most of the countries that are efficient when it comes to agriculture. And also, no other ministry is an island. We are the Agric Ministry. We work hand in hand with other ministries, especially with the Trade Ministry, because when you look at the Feed Ghana component, we are feeding ourselves, feeding the industry, and exporting. And feeding ourselves is agric. Feeding the industry now is trade. Exporting is also Trade Ministry. And so we are here to collaborate with most of the Chinese companies to see how best we can bring some of this technology into the country in Ghana.
On the Chinese side, Chairman Xu Ningquan, the prospective investor, welcomed the partnership, noting the critical link between fertilizer manufacturing and food production.
For our Ghana agriculture plan, fertilizer manufacturing is very, very important. This time, our delegation come China to all understand each other. I think Central very soon to plan doing one good fertilizer manufacturing in Ghana.
From Chengdu to Accra, this potential deal represents a major leap towards self-sufficiency in agriculture and a promise of jobs and prosperity for Ghanaian farmers. Anas Sabit, Joy News, Chengdu in China.
Grateful you could make time to watch Business Life. I am Pius Kojubaka.